Custom House and Harper Audio present Liar's Circus, a strange and terrifying journey into the upside-down world of Trump's MAGA rallies by Carl Hoffman, read by Charles Constant. By compromising, we could learn how each small demand for our outward acquiescence could lead to the next, and with the gentle persistence of an incoming tide could lap at the walls of just that integrity we were so anxious to preserve. Christabel Bielenberg, The Past Is Myself. Author's Note. This is a work of nonfiction, drawn from approximately 3 months on the road going to 8 rallies in 8 states. I drove more than 5,000 miles, spent more than 170 hours in line in arena parking lots, and listened to the president, up close and in person, for more than 12 hours. Every quote is true, either transcribed in contemporaneous notes or recorded on my telephone. To capture the absurdist non sequitur nature of so many conversations, I have tried to keep them whole rather than stitched together, which sometimes makes for long, strange passages. Each quote from the president was checked against transcripts of his speeches. Every name is real. There is nothing fake here. Part 1. Hell. 1. The crowd loves density. We trickled into Minneapolis by ones and twos, a migratory influx that grew as showtime approached. In Las Vegas, 69-year-old Rick Snowden slipped into brown moccasins and loaded a few blue and gray pinstriped suits, a handful of rep ties, and a bottle of Paco Rabanne cologne into his 2001 champagne-colored Jaguar XJR sedan and headed for the airport. The Jag had 195,000 miles on its odometer and RAS, his initials, hand-painted on the front doors. The suits were Snowden's real signature, though. $60 million, he liked to say, had passed through his hands over a long career as owner and manager of a slew of strip joints, from D.C. to Vegas. He made a point of always looking good and smelling good in case he met the president. He'd had his photo taken with 6 commanders-in-chief. This would be his 56th Donald Trump rally, and no one had him beat. In St. Mary's, Ohio, where a once-thriving business district had been rendered a ghost town by Walmart and other forces of global capitalism, Rick Frazier and Rich Hardings climbed into Frazier's SUV and headed north. Frazier, tall, angular, as thin as a 2x4 and as kind as a grandmother, was a 63-year-old retired pipe fitter. With a high school diploma and a union card, he'd weathered a 9-month layoff back in the day and several long strikes. And by the time he retired after 40 years, he was making $30 an hour, with double time on weekends and triple time on holidays. He had paid vacations, health benefits, and now a pension. He had a cat named Frank, after Sinatra, who slept on his chest. He played the guitar and favored the classic southern rock of the Allman Brothers and Leonard Skinner, and had once headlined a band called Sterling Foster, named after a beer sign he'd seen. Frazier was as all-American as Budweiser, before it was bought by the Belgians. His friend Hardings, also a pipe fitter at the same Continental Tire plant, was as round as Frazier was straight, and he traveled with a life-size cardboard cutout of the president. The two had been buddies for years. Both had been Democrats, Bill Clinton supporters, in fact, who had walked away to become fanatical Trumpians. This would be Frazier's 12th rally and Harding's 2nd. Further south, in a suburb of Dallas, Texas, Dave Thompson briefly considered his choice of rides. The Chevrolet Suburban with the aluminum mag wheels and throaty growl, or the classic 1983 Mercedes 240D. Both had a certain surprising flair for the 58-year-old, deeply religious father of 3. Lately, though, Thompson had been depressed. His ankle had swelled up for an unknown reason, and no matter how much he slept, he felt exhausted. He could barely muster enough energy to get through the day, but he'd been thinking a lot about God and about Donald Trump. End times might be coming.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?